Hello, I'm Midwife Pip, and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of honest expert chats. My mission is to provide you with the very best support and information through pregnancy, birth, and beyond with my online courses over at midwifepip.com. And as a podcast listener, I'm also offering you an exclusive 15% off all my online courses using code PODCAST15. With no further ado, let's get chatting. Motherhood is the most beautiful, chaotic whirlwind. Some days you feel on top of the world and like you are smashing it. And other days feel like they are a month long and full of relentless hurdles. Of course, we wouldn't change it for the world, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. So how can we mother in a more mindful way to make those rollercoaster days a little easier on us and the whole family? This week, I am so delighted to chat to Izzy Judd, who, as a mum of three, is very aware of the challenges that come alongside motherhood. Izzy is also a violinist and author of Dare to Dream and Mindfulness for Mums. Izzy has been affected by anxiety through her life and has found how mindfulness and self-care can bring some calm to motherhood, and that getting the family involved can help your little ones too. Izzy's Instagram account is at Mrs_IzzyJudd, and the fantastic books are also linked in the episode description. So Izzy, welcome. And ironically, as I sit here with little six-month-old Finley bouncing on my knee, this episode really couldn't be any more timely. So thanks for coming on to chat.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What a lovely introduction. It's always a bit surreal when you hear things out loud, even you saying mother of three. It's like the first time someone says, you know, when you get married, my wife, and you go, oh, you know, suddenly, oh, I've got three children. When did that happen?
It's funny. It's, oh, yeah, that's me you're talking about. When me and my husband were just sat on the sofa last night, and I said something about, you know, the fact that we are parents, like, and it's taken almost a while for that to sink in, because I think those first few weeks and months you're kind of just like rolling on adrenaline, aren't you, and like navigating and learning, and your routine's a bit chaotic and you don't really have much clarity and headspace to actually reflect on where you're at. And we were like, oh yeah, we really are, like, that's quite a big deal, isn't it? We're actually doing this.
Yeah. And Harry and I often like, are we like old enough, are we qualified, are we, you know, you sort of still feel like children yourself. And then you're left with these scenarios where you're, you know, like, we've had Kit's been protesting school a little bit recently. And, you know, you kind of say to each other, how do we handle this? Do we say, no, you've got to go, or be gentle, or, you know, and we're all trying to figure it out. And then you start thinking, well, my mum would have been, you know, done this. And you kind of think like your mum is absolutely, you know, just got it sorted. But I'm sure she went through all those similar questions and thoughts and things in their head. But to you as a child, you just listen, don't you, to your parents? Yeah, and the responsibility at times just feels so overwhelming.
100%. Yeah, I definitely feel like I've reached that point where I'm like, oh yeah, like, no one's coming to take them away. Like, someone has decided that they can actually trust us to bring up a child. I mean, that's crazy. And then you think, why didn't they teach us this at school? You know, the algebra lessons I sat through haven't come in handy. However, some parenting advice would have been fantastic.
Yeah. And even that algebra, when your children come home with maths homework and it stumps you and you're like, they're six. Why do I not understand this?
That's so true. One of my best friends, Izzy, is a maths teacher, and we always say, you know, when Finley comes home with his maths homework, we're gonna be like, Auntie Harriet, we need some help.
I know, well, for us it's Auntie Google, I'm afraid.
I love it. Anyway, we've gone off a complete tangent, because it's just brilliant to chat to other mums, isn't it? I think definitely after what we've gone through. But for those people who perhaps are new to the term mindfulness, or, and I was definitely guilty of this probably about 3 or 4 years ago, when they think of mindfulness, they visualize they've got to be sat in like a field in the dark looking at the moon in like a hippie skirt. But what actually is it?
So mindfulness, it's really very simple. If you break it down, it is allowing yourself to be completely in the present moment, which is really difficult to do, and actually it does need a bit of practice. And you can use loads of moments in your day, and as you're saying, you know, busy mums, when do we find those moments, as you're saying, you know, do I need to sit down for however long a day to practice this? And actually, no, it's not that at all. And the great thing is you have the most mindful creature in your house with your children. They are the most present. Babies and children are so present. And it's, I feel, my responsibility to keep my children remembering how to be present. So that could be anything from on the walk to school, that's, or perhaps if you've got a baby, when you're just strolling them in the pram, noticing what is around you. You will do the same walks to baby classes, to school drop-off every day, but you're probably so high up in your head and not in your body that mindfulness is a brilliant way to just reconnect. So even as you're walking, it could be feeling the ground beneath you, the different textures as you're walking along the ground, and talking to your children about that. What does the grass feel like? What does this road feel like? Or what can you see on the walk to school today that we haven't noticed before? You know, look up. What's up that we haven't noticed? Or so, you know, mindfulness really isn't about, as you say, sitting and trying to meditate and quieting your mind, because your mind is supposed to be thinking, and that's the way it is. It's really an ability to bring yourself back to the present moment. And in doing that, you're looking after your mental health, which is so key, especially as a new mother, I think.
Oh, I love that. And actually, Izzy, what you said completely resonated with me, because since literally the day after Finley was born, we've gone out for a walk pretty much every single day, because I just need that like fresh air. It's just so, so good for your mind and body. But I am 100% guilty, especially because often he'll fall asleep, of having like something in my ears, whether that's a music or I'm on a phone call to somebody or a podcast. Obviously, don't want to discourage people listening to podcasts. But I'm not just present in the walk. And I live in like a beautiful village with loads of animals, and we go past a school and there's the sound of children playing. And actually, I'm not as present in that as I can be. So I am 100% taking that away. And on this afternoon's walk, going to have my ears like free of any other noise and interruptions, and just look at where I am. And I think that that's definitely something that I can implement in my life for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not our fault, really. In our modern society, we have so many distractions, you know, the phone being a major one. You know, but even listening to a podcast, you are being mindful. If you're able to really listen to that podcast and not start thinking about what's on my shopping list, you know, all the major to-do lists, you are actually getting yourself into that moment and really taking things in and really absorbing things. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed with certainly my children to introduce mindfulness was definitely with breathing. So right from the beginning, when a baby is lying in their cot, you will see, or their Moses basket, wherever they are, you will see their tummies rising and falling with their breath. So their breath is very much in their tummies, whereas we tend to breathe anxiously and kind of short breaths up in our chest, and our shoulders are often up. But if you actually stand and watch your baby, which is one of the loveliest things when they're peaceful and you've finally got them to sleep, and just simply watch them breathe and breathe with them, you know, even if they're lying on you, just slow down and breathe with them. If that's in the night, you know, during those night feeds where you're thinking, how can I get up again and do this in another 2 or 3 hours, and to actually just slow everything down. And as the children have got older, when I put Lola and Kip to bed, we do something called teddy breathing. So you ask them to choose one of their favorite teddies, put it on their tummy, and ask them to watch the teddy rise and fall, so that they get used to their breath still being down in their tummies, and do it with them. You know, slow down. You've just gone through probably a horrendous bath, tea, tiredness, overload of stimulation yourself as well as the children. You're winding down for the end of your day as well. Just get on the floor, get a teddy bear with them, and just breathe. And breathing is your quickest tool to calming your anxiety and bringing yourself back to the present moment.
I love that. That idea of that sort of skin to skin at 2 a.m. and breathing with your baby is beautiful. I absolutely love that idea. And actually, you're probably going to get your baby to sleep much better as well, because you're calmer and they totally pick up on your kind of anxiety or stress and frustration, don't they? So that's a really, really lovely one. I like that. That's beautiful.
And that, you know, thanks, Pip. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, when Lola was born, she was a very straightforward baby, looking back now, having experienced it a few times. And she was the duck floating along the water, and I was the one paddling madly underneath. And I was so worried that my anxiety was going to rub off on her, my worries, my general mood, everything. And it really worried me. And I think that's why, you know, actually when Kit came along, mindfulness suddenly became so important again, because I realized that I had stopped practicing mindfulness, which had been my absolute anchor for anxiety in my early 20s when I went through a bad episode of anxiety. And so I was starting to think about how I could practice mindfulness through the day with a small baby and family. And, you know, there's all sorts of things in mindfulness for mums. There's another exercise, which is, I'll try and explain this over audio where you're not seeing me visually, but if you imagine you've got both your hands and you touch your, each finger is going to go one by one with your thumb. So you'd go first finger with your thumb, second finger with your thumb, third finger with your thumb, fourth finger with your thumb. And as you go, you say a different word. So that could be calm begins with me, or kindness begins with me, or patience begins with me. And the trigger of just slowly moving your fingers along your thumb, not even saying the words out loud, but in your head. If you do that enough times through the day, when you're just feeling a little bit overwhelmed, challenged, as we all are at various points, even just little triggers like that is a really simple, quick moment of just getting yourself back in the present and then carrying on with your day.
Well, I love that. They're the sort of things you need, like, as you know, people that are pregnant or they're new mums and they haven't got the luxury of loads and loads of time. Those quick kind of go-tos are just invaluable, aren't they, I think, for navigating the stress. Oh, Finley's decided that he'd quite like to pull my headphones off. Would you? Don't want to play with a toy in front of you. And he just mentioned there, Izzy, that you actually started practicing mindfulness in your early 20s. What was it that drew you to that? Because I feel like in the last few years, mindfulness has become perhaps a bit of a buzzword in society and a little bit popular. But actually, you've been doing it for a lot longer than that.
Yeah, so I read a book called Calming Your Anxious Mind by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And it was the first thing that really resonated. I was on anxiety medication and I was having cognitive behavioral therapy, but I still was just, finding, I kind of knew that anxiety was always going to be with me. And almost, you know, as a protection, actually, when things are becoming overwhelming, it's a bit of a warning sign. It sits on your shoulder, taps and lets you know. And I think the thing about this book, it was teaching me about mindfulness, and it was teaching me about how I'm often catastrophizing future scenarios, more than actually being thinking of being nostalgic and thinking about the past. I'm definitely somebody that is catastrophizing the future. And so mindfulness, that, you know, the tools of the book was all about how to bring yourself into the moment that you are absolutely in now. And that's why, you know, for me, it was, mindfulness was suddenly a bit of a kind of, it was an anchor. It was like a blessing at a time where I was really struggling. And so I've never really thought of it as you say, like a buzzword or something that was popular. It was just something that worked for me. And, you know, being then becoming a mum and realizing that actually this might help other mums too. That's why I sort of set two with mindfulness for mums, to try and, you know, hopefully share some of the things that were helping me also.
Oh my gosh, and thank goodness you did, because yeah, you've helped so many mums with putting your incredible tips into words for us to also share. Now, I think you've partly, I think, probably answered my next question, Izzy, in terms of some of the things that you shared already. Finley's agreeing with us. He does like to get involved with the podcast.
He's very chatty. I'm very impressed. He's having a good old chat with us, isn't he?
This is tired chatting. So when he gets tired, he likes to just talk to us, bless him. But that's your own fault for deciding not to sleep this morning. So as mums, and this is something that when I was pregnant, I was always like, I'm not going to be, you know, worrying about mum guilt. You know, you hear it all the time, but I'm like, I'll just be doing the best for him. That's fine. We've all survived. But none of us are perfect. And then you become a mum, and mum guilt is like relentless. Like, it's just on your shoulder constantly. Every decision you make, you're like, oh, should I have done that? Shouldn't I have done that? How can we kind of manage that need for self-care? Because it's so easy to lose yourself, isn't it, in the postpartum. So how can we manage that need for self-care and balance it with that ever-present mum guilt and that kind of not giving your baby 100% of your time? We're just taking a quick pause from this episode so that I can share with you a brand that I know you're going to love as much as I do. My little Finley is growing up fast and is almost on the move, which means it's now time to start making our home safe for him. Did you know that every single week, at least one child under 5 years of age dies in an accident, 75% of which happen in their own home? I think this is terrifying. And this is why the team at Cheeky Rascals offer a variety of products that not only help make parents' lives easier, but are also the safest on the market, including brands like Love to Dream, Rocket, and the Fred Baby Proofing Safety Range, which has everything you need to keep your little one safe and your mind at ease. I want to support you to make your home safer for your little one and prevent them coming to any harm. So Cheeky Rascals are sponsoring this podcast and offering you 15% off Fred safety products using the code MIDWIFEPIP15.
Interestingly, I remember talking to my mum and saying, oh, mum, I just feel guilty for this and guilty for that. And she said, well, you will forever more. This is never, ever going to go away. You are going to feel mum guilt. And I suddenly was like, oh, well, I can't go to bed at night beating myself up like this with all the things that I could have done better. And I've got to change this. And also, when I was pregnant with Lola, somebody said to me, the most important thing is to put yourself first. And I remember thinking, but I'm going to put my children first. Of course I'm going to put my children first. And thinking, that's a strange thing to say. And it's only now, probably three children down the line, that I really, really understand what she meant. Because one day, however, you know, difficult it is to think about this, your children are going to grow up, you know, and they will fly the nest, and you will have done it the best you can for them. And you're still left. And if you haven't taken care of yourself, where are you going to be? And so little moments of self-care, whether that's that going for a walk, not because it fits into your baby's routine, but just because you need to take a walk, then that's your bit of self-care for the day. Maybe you pick yourself up a little bunch of daffodils, or you light your candle and you sit for a moment unstimulated and just be and give yourself, you know, that pat on the back that you've got through another day, you've kept them alive, you've fed them. And really, you know, that is all that matters. They're happy. And even if they're not happy, you're there to continuously be their hand to hold, and you are enough. You know, you are enough. So I think it's the guilt. Yeah, it's always there, isn't it? It is. It's always there. It's always going to be sitting with you. But it's, again, mindfulness is another way to help you remind yourself to just bring yourself back to this moment and knowing that, okay, right now this is how I'm feeling, but this isn't going to, I'm going to feel something different in an hour, you know, and I will just let it pass. I will just let that cloud drift past, and then another emotion will come in. And that's just all part of motherhood.
Definitely. I think that's really powerful what you said there, Izzy, that you are enough, because I think it's so easy, isn't it, when you're navigating all of these new challenges and changes to be constantly comparing yourself to other people, to the mum that you thought you'd be. I mean, I was like, there's no way my child's ever going to watch television. I mean, he's definitely watching television, because you just do what you have to. And like you say, the things that we often get ourselves kind of caught up about or start to trigger that kind of anxiety and stress in our minds are often quite insignificant in the grand scheme of things. So it might be that, I don't know, Finley doesn't like taking a bottle, for example. So some days that's really stressful. And then I'm like, but actually he's being fed and it doesn't matter. And we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. Yeah. But in that time when you're sleep deprived and your hormones are going AWOL, being able to, like you say, just snap into those nice little simple mindfulness techniques can be game changing, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, those initial weeks, I mean, Lockie's what now, 5 months. And I've done, you know, I've had the three babies and I've been postpartum, you know, 3 times. And there is nothing like that feeling after you've had the baby, those first weeks where you are so tired and so full of every emotion that you could possibly have. You are on your feeding journey, whatever that might be. For me, it's always been very tricky. And, you know, if you've got other children at home as well, you're navigating through all of that. And women, we're just amazing. I just think what we do and how we manage it, I just think, yeah, it is quite amazing. But in those moments, having kind of now got a 6 and a 4-year-old, you know, like you're saying, Finley's not taking the bottle, you know, he's going to go through that phase and then you're going to be on to the next phase. But when it's the first time you're going through something, it is so intense and your perspective is so warped because we're in our houses a lot. We're not kind of, suddenly our whole world has become really narrow, having been, you know, our own independent beings. And if you're like me and actually find going out the house quite difficult with a newborn and worrying about if they're going to need a feed or if they're going to be overtired and just wanting to be at home, and then suddenly you're cut off from your support network, especially through COVID when people didn't have, you know, weren't able to have family and friends over. So, you know, self-care couldn't be more important. And getting through, you know, some days just each hour when you just had a baby is enough. And just remembering that it does pass, you know, I'm now starting to think about, you know, I'll be weaning Lockie soon. And, you know, you face those challenges and you think, okay, but he is going to learn to eat. And I am going to freak out about the choking because I've done that every time. And then it is going to get better. And, you know, yeah, we're all going through it, but sometimes it can feel very lonely. It can feel like you are doing it on your own. And actually, lots of other mums will feel like that. And reach out, you know, reach out. I think that's sometimes the thing. Social media is such a huge support. There's such a massive community on there. But it's also not forgetting to reach out to the neighbour and the person nearby that you can connect with. And talk to them about how you're feeling and you know, yeah, reach out to those other mums.
I love what you just said there, Izzy, about actually it can be lonely. And I remember thinking that, like, I've got a baby with me all the time, like I've not been on my own. But in those first few weeks, it felt the loneliest I've ever felt in my life ever. And yeah. I think that's something we need to talk about more, because I feel like women feel that if they do feel negative emotion in those early days, that there's something wrong with them, or that perhaps they are going down like a mental health spiral. And for some women, of course, that could happen. It's really important they get treatment. But I think it's also okay to recognise that it's all right to not love every day or every night or every 2 hours overnight that you might be feeding your baby or settling them to sleep and all of that stuff. Yeah. And yeah, it can feel really lonely. But like you say, asking for help, I think, is a difficult one. We seem to have moved into society where we feel like we have to do it all on our own. And if we can't do it on our own, then like, how can you even be a mother? You should be just managing everything and having a tidy house and running a business and having dinner on the table. And actually, it's just an impossible juggle that isn't necessary, because people do actually really like to help a new mum, but a little bit scared to ask. And I think the more we start asking for help, you know, if you're a friend of a new mum, take a lasagna around, drop it on the doorstep. The more we can do that and normalise it, I think the better for all mums.
It's so true. And I love what you say about, you know, dropping that lasagna around. My midwife from Lola, lovely Ali, because, you know, the first time round, you probably get a few more lasagnas. By the third, people are they're kind of like,
they're like, now I've got to cook for a whole family, not just two people.
But bless her, she turned up with a meal. And Oh my goodness, it was just like the best thing anybody could have done. And another mum, when they come in and they just unstuck the dishwasher, they just know instinctively what, or just, they'll just sit down with you and fold the washing. And, you know, I think it's such the simple, the mundane, the kind of monotony of your days, I think, as well, that can make you feel quite lonely. And I think that's why sometimes journaling is quite useful for that, writing things, that just writing out your thoughts. Because I think, as I say, you know, when we're in our head a lot of the day, getting those things out and down on a piece of paper, you know, that you might feel that you can't express to someone else, or you don't want to say because you almost feel bad for feeling those things. You know, when I had Lola, we'd gone through a massive fertility journey and IVF, and to comprehend in my head that I was struggling, I felt so guilty. There's the word again. Because I'd wanted to be a mum for so, so long. And then all of a sudden I was finding it hard. And then I was thinking about all the people that wanted to become a mum and were going through their fertility journey. And now I was struggling. And that was quite tricky. And then I kind of had to sort of almost forgive myself for that and realise that I was still allowed to feel things. Just because I had gone through fertility treatment doesn't mean that I'm therefore going to forevermore, you know, wake up every day and think I'm so lucky, because it's just not realistic. It's you're moving on to the next phase of your motherhood journey. And, you know, it's always remembering to just keep being kind to that inner critic.
Yeah. And I always think, imagine if we spoke to our friends the way we speak to ourselves, like we just wouldn't dare, because we know that is so unkind. And sometimes I think, actually, what would I be saying to my best friend if she was going through this right now? Probably much nicer things than I'm saying to myself. And we need to keep our minds in check in that way, don't we? And not sort of bully ourselves at such tough times. Now, Izzy, you mentioned about, and I love the teddy bear breathing, and I guess that's one really nice way of involving your whole family in the process of mindfulness. And I guess, actually, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, because you're getting some mindfulness in for yourself at the same time, which is fantastic. That helps with that time barrier. Are there any other tips you can give us to getting our little ones involved, whether they're aware that it's mindfulness or not, but it just, I guess, gives them really great coping mechanisms for life?
Yeah. So I have created little mindful corners in the house. So that is an area with some of their favorite books, maybe some coloring, maybe a puzzle, toys, and they can rotate it. And it's an area that they can go to. So rather than perhaps, obviously here, right, every parent must do what they feel is right, and every child is different, and some children will respond to this and other children won't. But for me personally, I found it a really great alternative to like a naughty step or a timeout kind of zone. For me, it was a nice way of kind of going, do you know what, I need some space from you. You need some space from me. Can you just go? And but it's an area that is kind of theirs. So that's quite a nice thing to do, a mindful corner. We do another breathing exercise in the bath, actually do this loads. It's called Take Five. By the way, I'm so sorry. I've got this cold, so I'm sorry if you're like hearing me
don't
go
worry.
Sniffing. So
you're allowed to sniff nowadays. You're not allowed to cough. Yeah. It's when you cough.
No,
and start
it's when
at
you're
you.
Coughing. That's it. No, that's very true. Yeah. So take five again. I'll try and describe this as best I can over an audio bit. You take your hand, and you're basically tracing round your hand with your other hand's first finger. So with the first finger of your right hand, trace the thumb of your left hand. So, and as you trace your thumb up, you breathe in. And as you breathe out, you trace the thumb down. And then you breathe up your first finger, and then you trace down and breathe out. So you're basically taking five deep breaths.
Brilliant.
And when you do it in the bath, I think water is a really, it's such a brilliant kind of sensory thing. Well, if kids are happy in the bath, that's a whole other conversation. But it can be quite a calm place at the end of the day. And we take these breaths. I find it works like magic. And I take the five breaths as well with them. And now I've got to a point where Lola goes, "Mummy, take five." Like trying to get them out of the house for school in the morning, I'm like, "Put your shoes on."
I love
Lola's
that.
Like, "Mummy, take five deep breaths." I haven't got time to take.
That is brilliant. And you've only got yourself to blame. Like that she knows that.
That's it. So that's, exactly. So that's a nice one. Reading books. So reading books at different times of the day, not just at bedtime. And sometimes we're really tired by bedtime and you've read the same book for, 2 weeks in a row because they're just obsessed with this book. But it's quite nice to, like I was sort of saying with the walk with the book, noticing something in the book you haven't noticed before. So when you're reading the story with your children, can they show you something on the page that they haven't seen before? So it's really focusing their their senses, really. It's getting their sight zoned in to that present moment of looking at this book. Kit can be really fidgety, so I find doing things like that helps to kind of focus him. And it helps us to just read a book mindfully. Another thing is colouring. I love sitting down and colouring with the kids. I've got like a mindful colouring book, which actually they love joining in with too. But a brilliant one is just take a blank piece of paper and just do a squiggle on the page with a pencil, just a random squiggle, and ask the children to try and find a picture within that squiggle. Mm-hmm. So I actually did it with Lola this morning. She found a fish. So that's quite a nice, it's just getting into the present moment with the children. And for them, it's a very, again, sensory, because they're feeling the page, they're looking, they're sort of zoning. So there's a few things, hopefully that might help.
I love that, Izzy, because in all honesty, sometimes, especially because Finley is only like 6 months at the moment, sometimes you like run out of ideas to do, don't you? Like, and it's not always that exciting to play with them when they're so small, because they don't give a lot back. So actually, little ideas like that can switch things up can help make it more enjoyable for you as well. Because of course, we want to enjoy reading and playing with our children. But I think those little ideas can actually make it more fun for mum as well as baby, which is lovely.
Yeah, and hopefully take you away from the massive washing pile that's staring at you. And you're thinking, I need to do that and I've got to do this. And actually think it can wait. Let's just slow down. I'm really bad at that. I find it very, very difficult to be in a messy house. When people kind of say the house can wait, I'm like, no, it can't. I can't relax until everything's done. But then you realise when everything's done, then it's not done, because then it starts again. And it's just this kind of cycle. But kind of going, right, I'm going to give 15 minutes of play right now. Everything can just wait 15 minutes. If that's with your baby, where you just get down, they're doing some tummy time, you get out the sensory toys for them, you perhaps put on some music, singing to your kids. It doesn't matter if your voice, if you can't sing, your children will always love your singing voice. And then you've dedicated that time, and then you have 15 minutes to go and put them, we call it the ring of neglect, the jumperies, whatever they are. And go and then have that time for yourself. But if you've kind of carved out some time in the day, and then don't feel bad if you've not spent your entire time with your kids. That's something I'm still learning.
Mitigate that mum guilt, doesn't it, as well, if you've done that. If you're like, right, we're spending this 15 minutes completely one-on-one, no distractions, yeah, keeping my mind just on my baby. And then, like you say, you can get, because it is a hard balance, isn't it? And I think, like you say, we're always navigating finding the right balance for us. But that can definitely help package away some of that mum guilt that we need to try and banish as much as possible.
Yeah, it's all balance. All about, Harry and I, like, it's all about balance. We take them out in the morning, they can watch a film this afternoon, you know. It's all about balance.
Yeah, keeping it real, isn't it, as well, I think, keeping our expectations real. Now, Izzy, your baby's obviously much more well behaved than mine and is still asleep, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, as much as I could talk to you all day, but everyone that comes on, I just ask for three top tips, and I wonder if you could share three top kind of practical tips for expectant or new mums for making mindfulness part of their everyday routine.
I'm trying to think which ones. I find to set yourself an intention for the day, at the beginning of the day. So that might be slow down, speak kindly, in other words, to yourself, or I'm enough, that kind of thing. Something positive. Write it down, stick it on your fridge, put it in your purse, remind yourself through the day. Another one, I'm just trying to think, for expectant mums.
I've put you on the spot.
No, you're fine. There's one something else I use as a bit of an anchor is, this might sound strange, the front door. So you're either leaving the house or you're coming into the house, okay? And your hand is going to turn that handle, or your key is going to go in, and you're going to go into the day. Sorry, leave for the day or come back into the house. Or maybe you've been out with your baby or you're coming back in. Or when you put that key in the lock, take a moment to take three deep breaths. Just pause, stop, take those deep breaths. There's always time. Even if the baby is starving hungry, pause, drop your shoulders, breathe. So that would be another one. And the third one is, whenever you feel like it's all becoming too much in your pregnancy or after the baby's born, put one hand on your heart and one hand on your tummy and take a deep breath in. And as you breathe out, think, all is calm, all is well, we are safe. That might be in an anxious pregnancy, that might be after a baby is born and it's all become too much. Yeah, all is calm, all is well, I am safe, with that hand on your heart and hand on your tummy. And just take really good care of yourself, be kind to yourself, and you've got this.
Oh, Izzy, that is such a beautiful way to finish. And certainly your tips have helped me as a new mum, so I am sure they have helped lots of other new and expectant mums as well. So a massive, massive thank you for your time. It's been wonderful to chat to you.
Thank you, Pip. And did you say?
This is little Finley who's come to play on the
Finley,
podcast.
You have been an absolute lovely welcome addition to my chat this morning. And I hope that Finley gives you some sleep today, Pip.
Let's hope. But if not, I've got some tips to manage the deprivation.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's it for another episode. I hope you enjoyed listening. Remember, you can use your exclusive discount code podcast15 on all my online courses. And why not check out my free mini course while you're there too? If you enjoyed listening to this episode, remember to hit subscribe so you're the first to hear about all the upcoming chats too. And I'd be immensely grateful if you could take a couple of minutes to leave me a quick podcast review too. I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.